Let's get started. Come on, because I got questions.
Let's go ahead and cue up the intro. Let's go.
We don't run from the truth. Ooh, we don't fake the healing.
We heal it.
It's a revolution now.
And you're invited. Heal that shit. Don't hold it in. Oh, rip the band-aid. Let it begin. Truth gets loud when you stop the lie. We cry, we rise and testify. Oh, heal that shit. Don't hold it in.
Heal that shit. Don't hold it in. Rip the band-aid. Let it begin. Truth gets loud when you stop the lie. We cry, we rise and testify. Life unfiltered, scars and all. Break that cycle. Tear down the wall. Accountable, raw, and full of light. We healing out loud and we doing it right. Oh.
Oh,
heal that shit.
Don't hold it in.
Yo! We are so lit, yo. I love this place.
Heal that shit.
And now y'all can sing along with us.
Glory. Better rip that band-aid off. You better heal that shit.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what we should do, Kim?
What?
There's people that haven't heard the whole song from start to finish. So I do
think... We should
think
play the whole song.
That we should play the whole song in post-production here, okay? And let people hear the whole theme song. It's a lot going on with the song that y'all need to hear. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
Ooh, we don't run from the truth.
Be-walk.
We don't fake the healing.
We heal it.
It's a revolution now.
And you're invited.
Oh,
oh, oh.
Oh.
Oh, heal that shit. Don't hold it in. Oh, rip the band-aid. Let it begin. Truth gets loud when you stop the lie. We cry.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is my... So clearly you all see that season three, we're taking it up to a new level, huh? All right. So let's go ahead and get this started, y'all. Hello. Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we are taking everything that we have learned since we started this journey in 2024 through 2025 and now in 2026, and we are amplifying it for a new year of transformation. Y'all, this is not just a podcast anymore. Clearly it's a party. Okay, it's a revolution in healing. So whether you are a longtime listener or you are just finding us here in season three for this first episode back, get ready for some life-changing conversations.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year and some change. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. Amen. We've created this space here for the truth seekers, the change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, and a lot of us need to be honest around here, real change happens when we stop hiding and we start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or you are here to learn from ours, you're in the right place. We are about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get results.
So before I do the next segment, I just want to know if you got your drink.
Because it's okay. 2026 and I am ready. Okay.
Okay. So buckle up, strap in, and grab your favorite drink, and let's heal that shit together.
Yes. So my name is Kimberlyn Jackson. I am an educational advocate, activist, and consultant, a visionary and motivational speaker, a virtual producer, and network executive. I'm also the founder of Intuitive Melanated Life Coaches, where we help people deepen their personal relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker currently living in Medellin, Colombia, in South America. I have been here since, when did I leave the U.S.? October of 2021. So it's been a little over 4 years. And I'm also a producer and one of the hosts of Heal That Shit. So what up?
Okay. Me. Well, my name is Bianca Goolsby, and I am a digital strategist. I am a consultant. I am an education activist and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we on cue for 2026, because here we go. I am an investigator, folks. I need y'all to hear me clearly when I say I am a receipt collector. They call me the queen of receipts around here because people lie, receipts don't. I am the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. Thank you, Jesus. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach, okay? All right? If y'all ain't be a part of the program yet, y'all need to be a part of the program. I'm going to just take this moment to talk about Discover Your Destiny in my intro, and we're going to play a commercial right here in this very moment, because when we talk about intuitive melanated life coaching, and when we talk about pouring and speaking life into people, it is very, very important in this season and for seasons to come, because life is life and out here. People are peopling out here, okay? And I don't mean to take this intro to church, but I'm just telling you, you just need to know your giftings in order to honor and praise God, okay? And to be able to pour into people, you need to know yourself, okay? So let's go ahead and roll the commercial here.
What if the thing you've always called too much was the exact thing God designed on purpose? This is for the ones who've always known they were different. Too sensitive, too loud, too knowing, too intuitive, too woo-woo. But what if your sensitivity is actually your superpower? What if your intuition was your inheritance? Discover Your Destiny is a 10-week sacred journey back to yourself. We explore the design of your soul, your spiritual gifts, and the unique way that God speaks to you. This isn't church. It's not a rule book. It's not a performance. It's the moment you stop chasing approval and start walking in divine alignment. You'll gain clarity, language, and confidence around who you are and what you are here on the earth to do. You'll learn the real voice of God. And if you feel called to go on to become a certified intuitive melanated life coach, this is where that path begins. There are two ways to enter the sacred container: the Destiny Track, full investments and coaching experience, or the Divine Exchange Track, where internship meets soul work. You'll support podcasting, content creation, or brand development behind the scenes while learning how your unique gifts benefit the collective. Your knowing isn't a flaw, it's the fingerprint of God. This is your invitation, and I hope that you'll answer.
I am also a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi, and my feet are currently planted in Port Richey, Florida. I love working wherever there's Wi-Fi, and I can't wait to touch on that later, because there's some of you that want to travel abroad but don't necessarily know how you're going to make ends meet and what you can do on the internet to make money. I'm here to help, okay, as a digital strategist. All right, and my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. Freedom and fulfillment, baby. And doing that fearlessly, because it's important. So what up? It's me. We here. Let's go.
Period.
Okay. So let me tell you something. In this space right here, we operate by three keys: accountability, transparency, and integrity. And I just got to take a moment to just be real petty in the moment, because some people be co-opting these words and they don't be living by the definition of the words.
I'm ready to be petty today.
So should we take a moment to define the words right now, you know, since we're here and, you know, discussing it, and this is a new season, right? So I think that would be appropriate, you know, to just kind of reset the tone for everybody understanding what we mean when we say these words. Do you think that would be helpful?
I think it would be helpful. And you have a way of explaining things to where people should understand the things that you say. So I feel like you just go ahead and you take the lead and tell the people what these words mean so that we are clear.
Okay, very well. All right.
Amen.
So accountability, you know, when I look it up in the Oxford Languages Dictionary and such, it basically is like the state of being accountable. So what does it mean to be accountable? It says required or expected to justify actions or decisions, responsible, as well as able to be explained or understood. So when we talk about accountability, we mean that we are responsible for our own actions and decisions, the impact of those actions and decisions beyond the intentions that we may have had, because we may have good intentions, but the impact of those intentions, and being willing to listen and learn from the ways that we have impacted other people, right? So that means holding ourselves accountable first, and then holding other people accountable after that. So then next, let's go to transparency. So transparency means the quality of allowing light to pass through so that objects behind can be distinctly seen, and also the quality of being open to public scrutiny. Now, we know a little bit about scrutiny, my God, today. It's been a lot. but I want to kind of look at that first definition, though, of when it says allowing light to pass through so that objects behind can be distinctly seen. One of the things that we're really intentional about in this space is being transparent about our journeys and about our healing journeys, so that you all are able to see that there is a way through that. So we're able to see there's a way through that, and we are moving collectively through this healing journey. So when we talk about transparency, we are really talking about putting our lives on display and allowing ourselves to be that light in those spaces while understanding that we are opening ourselves to public scrutiny, and that's okay. And we also hope that you are getting these public lessons as well. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Tell the people. Because there's been some confusion. Huh? Jeez.
So then integrity, we used to describe it to the kids in school that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching, right? The definition that we have here is the state of being whole and undivided, and or the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. So we only deal with people who have integrity in this space. If you have a very loose relationship with the truth, you are not somebody who's going to find solace or peace over in this space. If you are a person who is low vibrational, if you will, you're gossiping and just living in very messy spaces, you're not going to feel too comfortable over here in this space. When we talk about integrity, we talk about doing what's right for people, what's right for humanity, what is right for the people that are a part of this universe and this community and the collective good and whole. Okay. So those are the three keys. And we, you know, just wanted to take a moment to put that out there just so that we all on the same page when we talk about words, because words mean things. So when we say that we abide by the three keys, please understand we mean that. Okay. So if you don't understand or you haven't yet developed your three key skills, we're going to need you to get back in the gym. All right. And sit back and take some notes so that we can all hold each other accountable to show up as better human beings. All right. That's it. That's all.
I'm so glad that you broke down these words and went to the actual source, the definitions, okay, the dictionary, okay, to read it, because it's so interesting how when things show up at people's front door, back door, side door, you know, it's a lot be going on. And I just want to take a round of applause to the folks that are going to honor these three words in 2026, because we need it. Amen. We need it, because folks out here playing. Speaking of playing, okay, let's talk about these community agreements, because we don't need to have anything to be misconstrued or misalignments. We don't need no mess, okay? We don't need no mess. Okay. So let's just go ahead and just go to these community agreements. Before we go further, we want to make sure that we're clear on expectations, what you can expect from us and what we expect from you, okay? So what you can expect from us, the three keys, we just talked about it. We went through the whole definition of each of these three words and how they apply to how we show up in this space. Okay. And we're going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So this is a disclaimer to the folks that have little listeners. You might want to have some headphones, some AirPods, maybe not. That's your business. But we are going to speak freely in this space. Amen. And what Amen. We can expect from you. Hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We have an entire Block and Be Blessed ministry, okay? Amen. And that Block and Be Blessed ministry is real strong. The block list real long. And it's so interesting how people be on the block list, but still somehow be talking about the things that we be talking about on this podcast. But you know what? Engage with intention, okay? Because even if you get escorted to the block pew, we still gonna love you. And for the folks that are in the block pew that are still here, okay? Hey, seek help, seek healing. That's what we're about. Heal that shit, okay? So we want you to go on this journey with us. We're not the experts by any means as it relates to all the topics that we discuss, but we know things, okay? We are experts in the things we are experts in. So we say all that to say that we want you to participate in this, that we want you to bring people with you as we're on this journey, because we are all on this journey, figuring it out day by day. So we're just giving you this disclaimer here, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal.
Amen. So quick things of how to interact in this community, and then some updates, and then we're going to jump into the things. So first of all, we have emojis here in our community, and our collective emoji here in Heal That Space is the heart that has the bandage wrapped around it. That's how we know that you are connected to this space that we have here. So you can pair that with any other types of emojis that you would like. For example, we also have our individual emojis. So my emojis are the sunflower and the crayon. So the sunflower, because yellow is my favorite color. It reminds me of the sun. It is representative of joy. And that is something that I try to pursue often. The sunflower is also the symbol for invisible disabilities. And as someone who is understanding what it means to be neurodivergent and how that has shown up in my life, the sunflower really represents that. And then the crayon, because there was a time in my life where my life was very black and white. I literally found the video, Bianca, yesterday. It was around this time I was in Mexico City at that crazy girl's house. And I had started crying. I said, I'm about to go see my psychologist. And I started crying and I said, I was thinking about the things that I want to talk to her about. And I realized that I'm able to feel. And it feels like my life has gone from black and white to color.
Wow.
I literally found the video the other day. Yeah.
How did you feel watching that?
That has been a long-ass journey.
Yes, indeed.
Because soon after that, that girl tried to kill me. Like, yeah. it was literally a week or so later that I had to, like, escape from my life. So, yeah. And I also know I casually dropped that. My bad. I should have said trigger warning the song. My bad. I'll tell that story one day. I actually told the story, honestly. It's over there on the YouTube page. Anyway, focus. My other emoji is the crayon, because there was a time in my life that everything was in black and white, and I made a conscious decision to color the fuck out of my life and insert said crayon. So I am in a season where you all can see I'm in a brand new apartment, so we'll talk about that later. But I am embracing color and embracing that and what that looks like in my life. So those are my emojis. Please tell them about yours.
My emojis. As you can see, I'm in my teddy bear armor of God. Okay? I got my hat. All right? I'm feeling real good. Okay? I'm feeling real, real good. And I even got the teddy bear socks on. I am dripped from top to bottom.
Come on.
Teddy bear. Okay? So that goes to my emoji. I'm a teddy bear, y'all. All I got is love nowadays. I am with all that riffraff, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Listen, I'm with love, okay? I come with love. And if I don't fool with you, I don't see you. You don't exist. And even when you try to exist, I still don't see you, okay? All I have is love, okay? Speaking of the hands that form the heart, okay? Y'all. I've been very transparent about my journey as it relates to heart health, as it relates to my body. I have a pacemaker, folks. It hits different when you have an app that tells you how long you got to when you need your battery changed so that you could stay alive. That's real, folks. And one of the major contributing factors to folks just leaving here is stress. And I'm going to take every opportunity that I have to volunteer with the American Heart Association, to tell people about healthy heart health, to remind people about moving their body, and to be intentional with their stress level, because folks are dying out here. And stress is one of the silent killers that are taking folks out. And I understand the stress. Do you see what's happening outside? It's a lot going on. So while I understand the reasons why stress exists, of just existing in different spaces, of just trying to be unapologetically you, I'm going to uplift that the hands that form the heart is going to be my signature emoji, because it represents so much as it relates to my heart, whether that's physically, and also my heart that I want to give to the world, because love is the highest frequency. So those are my emojis.
Amen. So again, you can drop those emojis into the chat. If you're watching this during the live premiere, we are in the chat. So come and hang out with us, and you can drop the emojis in the chat. If we're saying something that you resonate with, or you want to send us love or what have you, those are your options. And you now understand what that means to us. Speaking of that, also, if you are watching during the replay, go ahead and leave a comment. There are going to be a lot of things that we're going to talk about that we would love to get your input on. So please do stop and leave a comment, interact with us. We do read those. So please do that. Also, if you are listening to us, or if you are watching and not listening, you are able to listen to us over on all the podcast platforms. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever the podcast is at. We are also there. And if you are listening to us on the podcast, come over here, child, to YouTube. Okay. Heal That Shit is the name of the page. Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit. Because you got to see some of the antics in person. Okay. It just, the audio description just ain't doing it justice. All right. But wherever you are listening to us, please make sure that you're liking the video, that you subscribe to the page, that you've left us a review, that you, any way that you're able to interact, please do that. So that we can really create this coalition of healing. So having said that, we're going to go ahead on and get into our first segment, which is our spirit check. And our spirit check is an opportunity for us to really think about how our spirits are feeling, and to do that in a creative way by using a heart system. So we are going to model what this looks like for you. And we would also like to invite you to participate. So if you're here with us, shout out to the Patreon, the inner circle, the keepers over in the archive, the digital guardians, the baby, the equalizers, all shout out to the Patreons who are here with us as we are recording and contributing to the show. So you're free to interact with us now and let us know if you're watching this during the live premiere. We have a poll that you're able to participate in. So please answer the poll question. And if you are watching this during the replay, you can let us know in the comments. All right. All right. So let me go ahead and get our spirit check pulled up. All right. Here we go. So the way that we do this, we have four colors that are represented here on the screen, and I'm going to share with you all, read them out loud for you in case you're listening. And we're going to talk about the combination of those and how those show up in our spirits. So green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So it's on me to start, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So let me see. Let me take a moment. And because I feel like I need to do a personal one of these and then like a world one. So I'm trying to figure out how to like merge those two realities. I've been talking about The Frolicking Truth came back, and I've been talking about feeling like I live in a real life episode of Severance. So that's kind of how things feel. So let me start with my personal world. Yeah, I feel this does feel kind of lava lampish. That's what I was trying to sense in my spirit. Like, how do I contextualize this? This feels very lava lampish. Okay, so I'm gonna bring the two together. So in my personal world, I feel like the light, if you will, in the lava lamp is blue. For the most part, I'm good. I don't have any complaints in this current space and time of this moment. But then there's purple that kind of folds in, where there are still some things that I need to kind of get together and established, if you will. And then there are like greens that kind of pop up. Like, oh, that was a nice part. Oh, life actually is good right there. Or, oh, let me like really take joy in this moment. And then I feel like at the base of all the things is a yellow. Like, just what in the entire hell is happening? And that is that world part. Is like, what's defuck is going on? So that's me.
Because WTF, what is going on, though? I resonate with that. So a slinky, okay?
Ooh!
A slinky. Follow me.
Okay.
So the base of the slinky is a vibrant blue color. And it has, in the middle of the design, it has some stripes of green and some stripes of purple and some little yellow dots. But the slinky is blue. And as things are moving and shifting, you'll see more of some than the other as things move along. But the base of it, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. But then when you start to move stuff around in the slinky, you start to notice the different things that pop up in the design. That's how my spirit is right now, a slinky.
That was a really, really, really good description. Like, I feel like I got that deep. Yeah. Yeah, that felt really good. I see the comment here. I like that, the slinky. I feel like that is me. Yeah, that was good. Okay. Well, girl, what's been going on, girl? Because, listen. So if you all watch, so you don't put syrup on your grilled cheese, okay? So we know this is Teal Dash's space, right? But Parallel Universe is minding my black ass business. Over on Minding My Black Ass Business, my cousin Kalanda and I have a podcast called So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. Now, Kalanda is Bianca's partner, okay? So there's some like universal crossings and things that are happening. Anyway, Sunday on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, Kalanda was telling us about Bianca being locked up abroad. And we're like, girl, this is so wild, right? So Kalanda's giving us her perspective as being the one who's about to have to go figure out how to support Bianca and all. It was a lot. Y'all got to go back and watch it, okay? It's over on the YouTube page. Now, girl, what happened? Where you going to start, girl? Where are you starting?
We gonna start here. My experience being locked up abroad, being watched, going to the bathroom, having individuals stand outside the stall and or outside the bathroom to make sure that they watching me, gives me a completely different perspective on life. That experience going to a different country, not necessarily being familiar with the language and having a bunch of people having conversations at you and to you, and is having a very hard time decoding and deciphering what is happening, which triggered the hell out of my nervous system. I don't even know where to start, Kimberlyn, as it relates to telling the story of my Peru trip, because even leaving Peru was a situation where I left the country because my auntie died. And that in itself was a lot. So I feel like with you having context of Kalanda's perspective, I feel like you're questioning, because you do very, very well at that. And I know what my strengths are. So I feel like it's best that in this
for
particular
me to ask
moment
you some targeted questions.
That you ask and I can answer that, because otherwise the way that my brain is set up,
just
I'm all over the place because it is
I got
so
you.
Much.
I got you. Okay, so let's work in timelines. So You said when I got back to Peru. So the last time that we were here was what, November?
Mm-hmm.
From November. Yep. You left Uruguay and went to Peru when? Like what month?
So November. All right, here we go. So flight to Lima was on the 20th.
Okay.
So we spent Thanksgiving in Peru.
Okay. Y'all had just got there. Mm-hmm. And so now when you were in Peru the second time, you went to Lima. The plan was to be in Lima, or the plan was somewhere else. I can't remember. Another city in
Peru. It's Lima.
Mm-hmm. It's Lima. Okay. Another neighborhood maybe from which y'all were in.
Yes, another neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so you said that when you arrived back to Peru, you only got 12 days.
That is correct.
Kalanda told us that y'all had gotten separated in immigration, like y'all were going up together. The lady said y'all had to go to two separate things. Kalanda goes to her person, they get 90 days. She overhears you talking to your person and you stay in 90, but then the lady says 12 or whatever. What happened at the window?
Okay, so get there at the window and she asked me, had I been to Peru before? I said, yes. And I said, Peru is very beautiful. I'm saying this in Spanish. I've prepped this and prepared for this, going to the immigration window, so I know what to say when I get there. She asked how many days. I said 90. She was having a hard time understanding me to the point where I hear Kalana was like, write it. So I pull out my phone, Google Translator, and then I write it. So then she looks in the system and she was like, no. ¿Por qué? Why? What's mm-hmm. happening? So she tells me that my first entry date into Peru was June the 3rd. And because of that, when I was there June the 3rd, I was there 70 something odd days already. And so because I had spent those days, I only received 90 days. And so she could only give me 12. So then my question was, I was under the understanding that I could get up to 183 days and that I could get an additional 90 days when I left the country and to come back. She said, no, only 90. She told me that I could overstay and pay the fine, but that she could only give me 12. So I say, okay. At this point, I've advocated for myself, telling her what I thought. And at that point, I can't really go back and forth, you know, with her on it. So I took the 12 and was like, okay, maybe there's a way that I could advocate for this, because Kalanda went through this same process, actually stayed in Peru much longer than me, because she was in Peru before I got there and she was in Peru for her birthday. Okay, so the June timeline. So mm-hmm. she spent more days in Peru and got 90 days. So maybe this is just one mm-hmm. of those discretionary type of things that happen doing research online when different people have different experiences going to immigration and getting different dates. Mm-hmm. Okay. So got the 12 and left. As I left, I felt so defeated. One, because
as you left
usually,
the counter.
As I left the counter, I was feeling so defeated because one, I'm like, could I have advocated for myself more? What are some of the things that I could have said to maybe change the discretion that she had where giving me 12 instead of 90? I don't know. Then I was like, okay, well, everything happens for a reason. I'll maybe be able to advocate for myself after I leave this process, but not really knowing what that even looks like, sounds like, and then going on the internet and seeing a bunch of different things that are being said by different people, didn't really know exactly where to turn to or how I was going to figure this out. But I knew that I was going to take some space, like decompress from all of that, because that's a lot to then have a plan set up. All right, we're going to be here 90 days, then we're going to go here. And then now we got this curveball of, okay, Well, if I overstay, I pay the fine. Okay, what the fine going to be? What is that going to be like when I try to come back to Peru? Because I like Peru. Like, I want to honor the rules of their country and to not have any type of markings against me when I'm traveling from country to country. If me overstaying, would that right. prevent my opportunities going to different countries? Is there some type of international database of where people go and how long they stay right. and overstay, etc.? Like, these were all the questions that were ruminating in my brain to where it was very overwhelming. I shut down for the rest of that day. We get to the Airbnb and I'm like, okay, here we go again with picking Airbnbs. So we were able to remedy a lot of it. I'm very thankful for the host, very, very accommodating to provide us some of the things, but just walking in on top of feeling defeated, it's just like, oh my gosh, okay.
It was a lot.
So mm-hmm. that happened. So maybe about, I say maybe about like 3 days later, I figure out that there's a database that immigration uses to communicate about different matters. And I was able to find out the way that I could send a letter to immigration to ask for a reconsideration. Mm-hmm. So I did the steps. I went and I documented the journey as I was doing it too, because I knew that I was going to tell this story one day and then I was going to share my process and how I did it so that other people could see it. Because even mm-hmm. people figuring out how many days you got, sometimes that's a process too. And you don't even know until after you actually check. That's a whole nother story mm-hmm. time. So I go and I go through the process of discovering this website, going through the process of putting my information in, again, all in Spanish, y'all. So me not being familiar in Spanish, there's, you know, learning curves and obstacles that I'm dealing with navigating the platform, writing my letter, again, in Spanish, making sure everything sounds and succinct, that everything is in order, and being like, hey, so my partner got 90 days, I got 12. We went through the same process. In fact, she was in Peru longer. Can there be a reconsideration? Because I have a pacemaker. We are here partnered together. We have the same itinerary. We have the same schedule. So can this be accommodated? I did hear mm-hmm. back, and they said that the decision from the immigration officer stands and that there was nothing that I could do. So, okay. Couple days later, found out that my auntie died. So I was like, okay, God, so maybe this was a way of being like, this is why you only got 12 days mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you need to go home and that will reset your time and you can go see another officer that could have different discretion and we could try this mm-hmm. process again. So mm-hmm. left the country to go see my family and just kind of mourn the life of my auntie. She was one of the only aunties that stayed in constant contact with me and my father after my mom transitioned. And when I tell you, I deeply love her and respect her and honor her and just am very grateful that she didn't abandon me when I felt like other members of my family did when my mom died. Because when my mom died, I felt like several members of my family died with her. Mm-hmm. So to then be at her celebration, see family that I haven't seen for so long and just be immersed in that experience. It was a lot, Kimberlyn. It was a lot. And then even being back in Tallahassee with just all the things that were happening in the States and just even in the state, it was very overwhelming. Then I'm separated from my partner and, you know, I'm grieving and I'm feeling alone. And it was a lot. Okay, so now after we get through all of that, okay.
So wait, you had mentioned before you got back to the States after your aunt passed, you said leaving Peru, something happened.
Oh. As I was getting ready to leave Peru, okay, mind you, I had 12 days. Well, the flight that I was on, it was canceled. Literally on the flight.
What airline is this? And what time of what day?
Okay, so this was Delta Airlines.
Okay.
We found out our flight was canceled at almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
After sitting on the plane for about 2 to 3 hours.
There was an
issue first with the fuel injector. So they were having issues. We were getting ready to head off, and then they said that there was an issue. So maintenance came to fix the issue. That did take some time for maintenance to get there. Allegedly, maintenance fixed the issue. So we're getting ready to go. And then before we depart and take off, the light came on again. So we had to go back to the gate because it wasn't working. So folks on the plane were upset. I have some videos.
To solve the problem. And we're coming up on a duty time violation. So bottom line is we're going to have to cancel the flight this evening and try to get a new start tomorrow. That team will be working for the next few hours trying to figure out the problem that we had with the aircraft. We certainly do appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Damas y caballeros, capitán, acaba de mencionar que el vuelo ha sido cancelado. Le pedimos cordialmente, por favor.
I completely blanked out about that. See, this is why I'm glad that you asked in these questions, because I completely forgot that experience of being on the plane for several hours, not leaving, and then having to stay the night in Peru another day in order to get on my flight to leave, which actually meant that I overstayed my 12 days and I had to have a special escort to ensure that I didn't have any problems getting out of Peru. Jesus.
Where you got the escort from?
Jesus. So the escort was one of the managers of Delta Airlines, making sure that when I went through immigration, that they didn't have a special flag on me because I overstayed my visa. And I had to make sure that I went through this process so that, A, they didn't charge me for staying an extra day when it was beyond my control, and B, that I wouldn't run into any issues going through the system. They literally held my passport, Kimberlyn. Oh, Jesus, I forgot all about this. They held my passport before boarding the flight at least an hour. Mm. I'm literally at the Delta section.
At the ticket counter.
At the ticket
like
counter.
Like the check-in counter.
Waiting for the manager to give me my passport back because they had to go to immigration and to clear me before I even went into the line to go through immigration to get to my gate.
So you was like, somebody gonna need to come with me?
Yes.
Glad you said that.
Yes. I said, Ajuda, I have the videos. Like I said, I knew that this is going to come up. I'm going to be more intentional with breaking this all down for sure, because it has been a lot, Kim. But I have videos of me talking to the manager at Delta, explaining the situation, telling me that I won't have any issues. Everything is all clear. And I recorded evidence to, one, document the journey, but two, just in case some stuff popped off, because I know how stuff of this stuff go. So one person tell you one thing, and then you go over here, and then they tell you something completely different, and then you looking like boo-boo the fool because you don't have no receipts. I was going to have some receipts, okay? Especially being in a different country and not knowing all the different things that are being said to me.
From Delta, came to talk with the supervisor for the immigration.
Okay.
And she say, the supervisor, she say that she verify in the system and you don't have any issue. What you have to do is go right now, because before midnight you have to go through immigration.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Okay, sorry for the time that you were waiting,
that's
but
okay.
I have to be sure that everything was okay.
I'm glad everything's all right. I don't want no problems.
Yes.
Okay.
All you want.
Okay.
All you want.
Yes, ma'am.
I told her, please just let me know, because the passenger has an issue yesterday. I don't want to. Today.
Okay, thank you.
I really
appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, here we go. Whew. So I
and
go
so
through all of that.
You, When you asked for the, when you advocated for yourself, all that, was that in English or Spanish?
It was in English. She spoke English.
Okay. So now you are going through security. You have an escort. They get you to the plane. You don't, you're clear. Everything's fine. You successfully leave Peru. I'm assuming that was not a direct flight. So that was probably through Atlanta or something.
Atlanta.
To get to Tallahassee. Okay. Yep. I'm just trying to paint the picture of like how long like these travel days be and all that kind of stuff. So you're, you get to the funeral, you're around your family. It was interesting. I'm sure it was a lot. I'm sure there's a lot to unpack. There are a lot of questions I can ask about that, but I'm a fast forward just for the sake of keeping it in this container right here. So now it's time, after you've spent time with your family, to come back to Peru. Because you're thinking at this point, okay, I left, we can reset. Because you're thinking it was officer discretion, that officer just was on whatever they was on. So this time, I'll probably have a new officer, and then we can just start over. I've left. I'm back. My partner is here. I kind of have all this leverage. The website says you can have up to 183 days. So I'm coming with those intentions.
Yes. And I'm also coming with the intentions that I still have stuff there. Because when I left, all I left with was a carry-on bag. So my items and my things are still at this Airbnb. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm prepared. I know what to do and say. I'm going to go to this next immigration officer and I'm going to get the days that I need, and then all clear, all good, no problems. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when I finally make it to the counter to talk to that immigration officer, they're like, no. And then I was like, por qué? Like, literally.
Did they ask you? So you walk up to the window, you say, buenas tardes, buenos días, whatever. And they immediately just say no, or what?
I think it went something like, I walked up to the counter. He asked, have I been to Lima before? Mm-hmm. I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And then he looked in the computer. And then when he looked in the computer, he said, no. And then he went to Google Translate on his computer. And he started to send me a message that I have used my 90 days and that my days reset on June the 3rd.
So then, pausing here for clarity, is 3:33 also. make a wish, whoever is listening. So pausing here for clarity regarding like immigration rules and such, and like the ways that rules operate in different places. So here in Colombia, for instance, you get 90 days upon arrival, and then you can have up to 180 days per calendar year. So here in Colombia, people will leave. I had to do it when I bust my chin wide open. I left to go to Panama over on New Year's Eve, and then I came back on January 2nd. So now the days reset, you get a fresh 90 upon arrival, then you're able to extend that for 180 days again per calendar year. In Peru, though, they don't operate on calendar year. It's within a 365-day period. So when Bianca mentioned earlier that the first time that she had gone to Peru was June 3rd, so now from June 3rd, 2025 to June 3rd, 2026, only 90 days. Now, okay, go ahead.
They held my passport, and the immigration officer that I initially spoke with went to different counters speaking to different people, asking them. And again, I don't know what exactly the ask was, but I'm going to infer and assume is, how do I handle this situation? So it was some time where I was just standing at this counter watching people just go by, and I'm standing here with no passport, my stuff. I got a bunch of stuff with me. I end up losing my SpongeBob blanket, which I had since Summer was a little girl. So I don't know where my blanket is. And I am just distraught at the fact that I'm standing at this counter. They're saying, no, I don't have my passport. Kalanda's messaging me asking questions as to what's happening. I can't really tell her what's happening because I don't even know what's happening. And I'm just literally standing there frozen, scared, and like, what happens next? Like, I've never experienced anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe about 30 to 45 minutes later, literally just standing there, right? So the immigration officer that I worked with at the beginning and another officer had came over and approached me, and they had a paper for me to sign. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the paper said, so I had to use Google Translate to read what the paper was because I needed to know why they wanted me to sign the documentation. Mm-hmm. The documentation states that I could not enter the country because I have used over, actually, the days that were allotted to me, that I used 91 days of my 90 days of being in the country. And so they are returning me back to the United States. So I had to sign that paperwork. And again, I was just like really frustrated about the situation because now after reading the paper and processing, I realized that I'm not going to be able to get into the country, that this is just what it's going to be. And then now ruminating thoughts. So they escort me to a immigration window that they have where there's just a bunch of chairs that's there. And I'm literally just sitting there for about maybe another 45 minutes, not necessarily knowing after I signed the paperwork and was escorted what was going to happen or what the process was. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm like responding to messages. People are asking, did I make it to Peru safely? Yes, but I can't get entry into the country. Why? What's happening? I actually don't know. I'm just sitting here because they told me to. My blanket is missing. I've asked if someone could help me find my blanket. One of the guys that shoot me along and told me to sit down. So I was really frustrated at that point because it's my favorite blanket. I feel some type of way about that. I'm still slightly angry that my blanket is MIA and I don't have my SpongeBob blanket because I really, 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 really love that blanket. So this is also a note here that if you have things that are very, very sentimental and very, very important, that you are very mindful in the way that how you pack it to reduce exposure to things happening. I found out that a part of my backpack strap broke, and that's why the blanket went missing. It was a malfunction in my backpack that caused my blanket to be MIA. So there's that. So I'm sitting outside of the immigration window in these chairs, not necessarily knowing what's happening. And then this petite guy comes to sit next to me. He has on a vest on and all that. And he's sitting there and we're having casual conversation, some of which I needed Google Translate to really talk to him. But he just sat next to me and just started talking to me. And again, I had no idea what to expect. But this was the person that was assigned to be my escort, is what I later find out to be. So they call my name at the immigration window and they talk to the guy with the vest. So I get escorted to another part of the airport that I didn't even know existed, folks. There are layers upon layers, but I was going through interesting pathways and different corridors and different doors that I was like, this could be a whole secret mission here going
airports
through this,
like cities,
going through all of that. So I was very overwhelmed and overstimulated with just even being like, I don't even know where I'm at. None of this looks familiar. Never been here before. I got all these questions. He can't answer me right now. I'm just trying to figure out what to do. I got different people from all different sides of the world asking me, am I safe and what's happening? I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know if I'm safe. I don't even know if I should be honest to tell them that I don't even know if I even feel safe. Because what that going to do? That's just going to amplify the situation even more. That's not helpful to me and my heart rate. Pacemaker. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we finally get to the area where I am now familiar with. So I am now recognizing where I'm at because I've been here before. So I'm like, okay, cool. They have food here. They have the bathroom here. They have the duty-free shops. I see different people going, walking around here and there. So, okay. All right. I feel a bit safer. But how the hell I'm getting home? When am I getting home? How am I going to get my stuff? What? How do I even tell all this to Kalonda? What is happening here? And I'm like, I'm not getting real answers either. So, mm-hmm. Kimberlyn, I'm using Google Translate. I'm like, okay, so I understand that I'm not allowed entry because I have extended my 90 days. When is my return flight home? Mm-hmm. Do I have to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was then told, no, I don't have to pay for my return flight. That was great because, woo, like, it was already enough, like, just purchasing the ticket to get there in the first place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, so don't have to worry about financially getting back home. All right, what is my flight information? I don't have flight information right now. Okay, then I'm told, oh, you're going to Salt Lake City. I'm going where? Utah?
Why Salt Lake City? Why did they say, what happened when you asked them why Salt Lake City?
They said that was the soonest flight. No.
The soonest flight. Oh, they was just going to put you back on the first thing smoking.
I said, no. I need to get back to Tallahassee. And then he was like, okay, so Atlanta. No, Lima to Atlanta. Atlanta to Tallahassee. That's how it should be. I went from Tallahassee to Atlanta, Atlanta to Lima. So all of these steps got to be here because also while Salt Lake City is like WTF, like how we even get there, even Georgia, they don't need to know that I have family there and like I'm good. Mm-hmm. And if mm-hmm. I were to mm-hmm. land there, I'd be all right. No. Delta Airlines. This is also why I'm elevating the situation because Delta Airlines could have done so much more in this particular situation. And I'm very frustrated with the airline. Mind you, I'll take responsibility. I didn't know that it was 90 days period when other people are receiving beyond 90 days. So I don't know, again, what's happening with the immigration process and when things change and all of that. But we are in Trump's United States of America, where people are changing rules and things because he is the commander in chief. I recognize that and know that. However, there are some discrepancies when it relates to people traveling abroad. And this is why these conversations are important, because when I tell you my nervous system, Kimberlyn, even talking about it, it's invoking different feelings and things that I've gone through. It was New Year's. Saying Happy New Year on the plane. I got a video of me on the plane looking at fireworks.
Mm-hmm. And you can see fireworks from the plane. That was a question.
I saw fireworks. I saw fireworks from the plane. And I got a video of that.
And there are other people on the plane as well. Just
regular
travelers. So they're just like, okay, gone back on over there.
As soon as I got to my gate and they checked my bags and did the security scan when they scanned my boarding pass and they put me on that plane.
Now there was you're a regular person again.
I'm a regular person. To where some of the flight attendants were like, oh, you're back again.
Yeah, just seen them. Because that's their tour.
Because that's their shift.
Yeah. Wow.
I said, I'll be. So sleeping in the airport was very interesting because I wasn't trying to do that. I don't like sleeping in public places. I don't like being where I'm vulnerable like that. And mind you, I had all my tech gear. So, you know, I'm real funny in particular about that, of just things being exposed and all of that. So I'm literally like sleeping with one eye open, not really getting any rest. My back is hurting. The chairs are uncomfortable. Like, it was just awful. And I can't really do too much about it because I don't have the power here. I am powerless in this situation. I can't really advocate for myself or really even know what's going on. To the point where when Kalonda, fast forwarding a bit, when Kalonda went to the airport, we was on the phone and I heard the chime from the airport. I was like, hey, I'm not going to be able to stay on the phone with you while that chime is going off in the airport, because I literally experienced an out-of-body reaction hearing the chime at the airport. That's how triggering and traumatic that experience was. So when I say this is the first time that I'm really talking about it, and I wanted to share and to do a real deep story time because of the dangers of traveling abroad and Trump's United States of America and him changing things around to where other people in other countries is like, actually, y'all don't even come over here, because if y'all got anything to do with him over there, y'all actually don't need to come over here. Y'all don't even worry about it. Don't you even do it. Because if you do come over here, we're going to use our discretion to make sure that you stay the least amount of time here, because you need to go back over there where you're from, because we don't want you over here. And then also being empowered to know what your rights are and knowing how to advocate for yourself in a different language, in a different country, is also very, very important. And just having the awareness, right? Just having the awareness. Some things that I wish I had. One, I wish that I had some type of AI glasses or something to help with decoding the things that are being said to me. Google Translate can only do so much, particularly when you're in a very loud environment, such as an airport. There's so much other stimuli and noises that come that sometimes prevent the ability to really fully communicate with someone unless you are typing, which in some cases people don't want to do. Sometimes you don't even want to give people your phone because they might take your phone and do all kinds of things with it. And it's just a thing of just, again, being aware, knowing what's going on, and being able to communicate. It was so traumatic sitting there in the airport, feeling so powerless, being surveilled, and feeling like I am a criminal for coming here thinking that I could have more time here based on what's said on the website, to then be told that it's something completely different. And then now I'm financially out of ticket. Thankfully, again, that I didn't have to come out of pocket to get back home. That would have been a whole nother thing. Right. So now I'm financially out of a ticket. Mind you, I still have bags and belongings at the Airbnb. How is that going to get to me? And then what happened to our itinerary and what was planned and what was forecast and how that takes a major pivot. So it's a lot. I am still actively processing all the things. So as that's happening, I'm messaging Kalonda, trying to keep her up to date with what's happening, what's going on. And so she has her own adventure. Again, y'all have to go to Mind and My Black Ass Business to listen, because she was out there about to pay somebody to try to get me back in the country. And I was like, what is happening?
She said she was greasing, ready to grease wheels, girl. And I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. I can't wait to get Bianca's perspective. Because like, what the hell? It's a wild, wild adventure, y'all. So go and listen to our last episode of So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. Because, Kalonda was, she was...
Like, and like, it made me feel good, you know, like having a person that's willing to go to bat for you and to truly be like, all right, what's going on? Because at one point I was messaging with, again, one of the chaperones that I had while I was in custody, being like, hey, so I still have bags here. Is there a way that my partner could bring the bags to me? To which she was like, okay, well, the shift manager comes at this time, so let's check when they get here. And again, Delta Airlines, this is a message for you, okay? A lot of things could have went better in this experience, all the way from when there was an issue with the plane, And we were sitting there for hours as there was an issue with the plane to even the plane from Tallahassee to Atlanta. Why y'all got these baby ass planes from Tallahassee to Atlanta is beyond me.
So if you've been through a lot, so I want you to take a breath. For a minute, because that's definitely a lie. This is what I wanted to say. So Delta has some liability in some things. Clearly, they could have done some things better. But once you were in immigration custody, you are they're not treating you like a person. Honestly, it's literally like you are a threat or a potential threat, and we need to get you out of here, right? And that is very sobering for anybody who knows that they're not, right? And it just really makes me think about everything that's happening with immigration in the U.S. right now and how many people are trying to take the legal pathways and doing what is right and constantly being terrorized. The immigration systems are set up to not give you the benefit of the doubt. They don't know who you are. So as I was trying to get information about what was happening, and Kalonda was like, I was trying not to bombard her because I know that she only has the information she has. She's trying to figure whatever out you only given her. But I finally clicked when she said there's somebody sitting there with her, and the only thing they said is the next time the next person is coming at whatever time. I said, oh, she's in custody. Oh, okay. So then that, like, in my mind was because these areas that you're talking about in the airport that people don't really know exist, if you are just coming through the gate and passing through or, you know, coming in and going out and through customs, there are places in the airport where they are holding people. And I've seen those spaces in different countries between Mexico and Colombia, and where people are just sitting there, not necessarily in cages, but they're not comfortable. They're sitting on the floor. They don't have blankets. Like, there's a lot that's going on. And so when she told me that, I said, wow, Bianca is in immigration. And that is not necessarily a humanistic experience, but what I'm hearing in the PTSD, if you will, of it all is processing what you have experienced, but then also processing what that looks like for people who didn't have the luxury of getting back to Tallahassee, or they are being sent to Salt Lake City, and then people don't care. Like, once they're like, girl, I don't care where you live, you getting up out of here. That's what you finna do. The fastest flight that we could put your ass on to get from out of here, that's what you finna do. You're going to Salt Lake City. You can figure out the rest of that shit once you get back to your country. They don't care anything about that because you're viewed as a threat. You've got to get out of here. Even though you came with the best intentions, even though you came utilizing the information that was accessible to you. And one of the things that I often tell people is you have to consistently check the websites, and you have to, one, make sure that it's the government website to really understand what the rules are first. So you got to do that. And they change. They change at the drop of a dime. It could literally be today, and then tomorrow they're like, we're not doing that anymore. So understanding that as you're moving about different countries, because there is a possibility that you could run into a situation. For instance, you could go to a country and yesterday they say you get this many days on arrival. The next day you got to apply. You have to apply for a visa. So now they're like, no, you ain't did no application. You're getting up from out of here. I don't care if you're going to Salt Lake City or Anchorage, Alaska. You're out of here. You know, so it really is a lot that comes along with that. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do such an extensive story time, because there are so many things that we can learn from this situation and so many ways that we can alter our expectations to make sure that we always have a backup plan just in case. And, you know, that we've made the network that we need to make in the places to be able to get support if something does happen. Like, there's a lot that can happen. And a lot of this life often looks very glamorous. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm just bopping about from country to country. And yeah, a lot of it is fun, or you get to see different things. But especially in today's world where the U.S. and Israel are trying to take over the world, moving to different countries is not going to be so simple, and it's not going to be so free. And there's a lot more scrutiny that comes with this blue passport that once gave us access to so many more things that we may not necessarily have access to.
This podcast is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again. MSGA, baby. Enough is enough. And it is time for accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's time to snitch. Save 11% by using coupon code HEALTHATSHIT. Visit us online by visiting projectmsga.com.
Before we took our quick break in this recording, I had asked you a question about how you are stabilizing your nervous system after everything that you experienced. So I'm really curious about what that looks like for you.
I'll show you. Eye color, okay? Eye color, I got me a SpongeBob coloring book from Five Below. And
nice.
I have all of the different shades and colors, colored pencils, you name it. Like, it's a whole pack, and I carry it with me, and I like it. I also been carrying my bubbles with me, so I've been blowing bubbles and just, again, just doing the things that make me feel at peace, make me feel calm. So listening to music and doing projects that bring me joy. That's how I've been calming my nervous system, is doing the things that bring me joy and staying away from things and people and just a whole bunch of foolishness that's going on. I'm trying to slowly but surely use my voice and to talk about these things, but a part of protecting my nervous system was being quiet and just letting the things happen, writing and documenting the journey. And then when I'm ready to fully immerse in it, then that's what it will be. But letting it just be and not rushing myself to do it also.
Yeah, I think that's really important and something that sometimes we don't necessarily do with intention that we really should, is ensure that you have the system in place to support yourself when you choose to unpack certain things. Now, a lot of times we don't have a choice, right? So for instance, when I had the mental health crisis in 2023, all that shit came falling off the shelves all at the same time. So like, I didn't consciously say, oh, I'm going to unpack my relationship with the U.S. I'm going to also unpack the relationship with my mother. I'm going to also unpack, like, stuff just started falling out of the boxes. But if you have the ability, for instance, you know, we have the healing circle that we do every second Saturday of the month. And in the healing circle, there people are coming declaring, you know, I am on a healing journey with my body. I'm trying to get prepared to bring life into the world. I'm, you know, trying to heal from a broken relationship. I'm trying to heal from an abusive relationship. Like, there are so many different things that people are coming with. And so a big part of the healing circle is for us to take the time to reconnect back to our breath and to our bodies and to the things that help us to remain grounded. That is the support system as you are trying to... They're really cutting up right now outside. I don't know if you can hear it, but feel like I'm in the middle of Lima right now. Like, what are y'all doing? Cut it out. Cut it out. They don't even be blowing horns like that here. Like, what are y'all doing? Stop it. Oh, sorry if y'all can hear the horns. I'm back in the city. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I think that's a part of the healing journey that we need to be more intentional about, is making sure that we have the routines and practices in place for us to be able to support ourselves when we are on these healing journeys. Because otherwise, you just continue to keep yourself in survival mode because you don't have the grounding practices to stabilize your nervous system. So you just remain in this state of your brain just, am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? You're hypervigilant. You can't relax. Like, you're doing so much and being so worked up because you haven't been able to have a strong foundation to help you to support things. So I appreciate you sharing, you know, what you do, because we all have different practices. You know, I'm big on bubbles as well. And I actually talked to a lady the other day and she told me that she colors, and I immediately thought about you. So, you know, we all have a thing, and we all need to have something where we're able to allow our spirit to take over and our brain can take a rest. That's what these type of outlets do. It allows your brain to be able to release control so that your spirit can take over and say, yes, I am safe. Yes, I am connected. And now I want to be in a place where I'm able to be creative, and I'm able to transmute all of this negative energy. You know, I done had some stories in immigration too. That's what I told Kalanda. I said, I got some stories that's done happen. I said, I ain't never got locked up abroad though. I ain't did that. I said, Bianca, golly, she got an experience, you know.
Locked up, wouldn't let me out.
Child,
they try to kick me out.
Custody, girl. But yeah, so I'm glad that you are intentionally stabilizing your nervous system with those practices. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure. And even with the story of just, again, dealing with that, like, there's just so much to say and so much more to unpack, and just trying to keep everything as succinct as possible. Although my brain people are literally from wall to wall to things. And just even with going back, I listened to some of the recording that we recorded before this transition, and I was like, man. Like, there's so much more to just even unpack with all the different things that came up. So I just appreciate you even asking about just how I'm grounding myself in that, so that I can continue to be intentional with that. Because when you go through a traumatic experience, it is a lot to stabilize yourself. And I have been actively working on stabilizing myself, feeling back in control of my body, and also feeling like, wow, I really need to do some more work as it relates to language acquisition. Because being in spaces where I don't necessarily know what's happening and what's going on and how to effectively communicate is actually triggering me more than ever now. And I have been more and more aware of that and have been making more steps on how to address that, because it's just uncomfortable for me and it's unsafe at this point for me to go places and not necessarily know what is being said or how to communicate, even though these tools out here exist. I just got to do a better job of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that too, girl. When I was almost locked up abroad, I was telling, so I had a locked up abroad situation, but it wasn't like immigration. And also I was able to get free. If y'all are in the Patreon over in the archive, it's the refrigerator story. So that. But when I had that situation, I remember I was so grateful that I was able to get Chef Ratatouille on the phone, because I did not understand what was happening. Like, I was just like, I just need to buy a refrigerator. I don't understand what the hell else is going on here, and I don't have nothing to do with that. I'm just here to buy a refrigerator. So I really relate to the push to even say, you know, I need to dig deeper into the language and really, you know, put myself in positions where I am able to communicate effectively, because it's nothing like not being able to. And it just really brings me back to thinking about the way that people come into the United States and they do not have acquisition of the English language, and how they are treated, how we view them. Like, we in the U.S., and I'm even starting not to say we, like, I'm very much starting to be like they, but I understand that I'm still from there. But when I tell you, my relationship with the U.S. is shambles. You understand me? Shambles, not to ever be repaired. Like, it is a lot. But I think about people who have immigrated into the country and the way that they're treated, the way that we're conditioned in the U.S. to treat immigrants, and the way that we ascribe stupidity to them when they have so many thoughts in their native language. But I just don't have the words to be able to communicate what is happening right now, or what, like, I don't understand. Like, it is so, I get it, girl. I get it. I get it so deeply. I really do. And I'm really proud of myself, like, in my language acquisition journey, but there's still so much more, you know. But and even thinking about that, I'm about to have to have an interview here soon about asylum. And again, that's not something I really talk about a lot publicly anymore. We'll be talking about it in the Patreon, but that's coming up pretty soon. Have a brand new legal team. Like, it's going to be a lot, you know. And so how do I effectively communicate? Which, I mean, the state of the world right now, it helps my case a lot. Because it's like what Cardi said. Like, is... Are y'all see, do y'all see what's that? Cause I mean, this is why, you know, but, it's very daunting to think about handling real life and real business, especially in the arenas that we work and live in. It's daunting to think about having to do all of that in a different language. So I definitely relate. And, you know, that's something too, that maybe we can create a space to be more intentional with practicing Spanish and working on, you know, accents and, you know, helping each other along the way. Because it definitely is a process to learn an entirely different language, one, but then to learn an entirely different language to be able to conduct business, two, but then an entirely different language to be able to conduct business that has to do with immigration affairs in this current world. That's a whole nother thing. So I will definitely be holding energy or sending energy and holding space with intention for you as you process, because a lot of stuff that you don't even process it until later on. You know, and it takes time to really be like, that shit was wild. Like you said, I didn't even remember that part. Like, there are things, you know, that come up. So as you watch videos, I'm glad you documented it. So you are able to go back and actually, you know, talk about the things that happened, and you have the real life footage, the receipts, you know. Yeah.
Girl. Yeah, that the language acquisition, and I tell people, and people be thinking I be joking when I be saying this, but I swear I be on it. I say I struggle with English, okay? I struggle with English, and you think, okay. Again, listening back to some of the things I said, I was like, dang, that was a tongue twister. Why did I phrase it that way? If I have a hard enough time communicating in English for people to understand at times, it is reasonably to say that another language is going to be difficult, or if not more difficult. So yes, spaces need to be created in this time, in this season, as it relates to helping with that, because I get overwhelmed, overstimulated, mm-hmm. and the gamification of Duolingo, I will say that it doesn't work for the type of learning that I need personally. And I'm mm-hmm. grateful to be able to have that experience. But like, I need to be able to have conversations and to be held more accountable than to do mm-hmm. an activity for a streak.
Yeah. And there are some foundational things. I think the way that Duolingo works, it doesn't really, it's not like a, let's get these foundationals first. So it kind of comes though. I don't know how their algorithm works. And I also, people have different versions and it's interesting. It's an interesting world. I think the good part though, for anybody who is looking to learn a different language, is that it keeps you in a space of thinking, okay, I need to do this every day. And there is some form of exposure to the language a day. But there are some like foundational things that are probably that I know that are there that could help. So that's something that we can create. And if there are others of you all who are interested in learning Spanish in particular, because that's the only other language that I speak. If you'll let us know in the comments as you're watching this, and actually leave a comment. So if you're here in the live chat, we need you to leave a comment after the show that says that you would like to be a part of the language learning circle so that we can like really start thinking about what that might look like. And if there's even an interest beyond just us having this conversation in real life right now. But yeah, it's a lot. You know, there's a lot that goes into thinking, first of all, in your native language. So then when you throw the extra steps that are in there to be able to do that in a foreign language, then when you throw in the extra step to be doing that in a foreign language in a foreign country, then when you add in the extra step of doing that in a foreign language in a foreign country in a traumatic situation, the brain ain't braining at that point. The brain is literally just like, hey, I'm confusion, you know? So I do want you to give yourself credit and put respect on yourself for being able to navigate that situation in the best ways that you were able to. And even in your process of processing, that you give yourself credit for everything that you experienced that you may not have even surfaced, you know, and then also being intentional. I don't know what your therapy situation or whatever looks like, but if you have the opportunity to be able to unpack that, because it's a lot, and I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot, and I haven't even experienced to the extent of what you experienced, but all the times that I have like gone and been, I don't know if I'm able to come back, and I don't know if this, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I overstayed because the plane didn't leave on time. And so now I need to get clear. It wasn't my fault of trying to run through security. Like it's a lot. It's a lot. So I want you to put some respect on yourself because you did that. Okay.
Appreciate it, friend. Cause my brain was like,
what the hell? Oh my God, no way, yeah.
No way.
Literally. I can only imagine. Wow. So I'm curious. The comments say, Bianca, please.
We gotta keep it cute. Oh, I didn't do it. Come on. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. So silly. Okay, so did you have anything else or did you want me to get into my things?
I think we've gotten into a lot over here. Let's transition to you. How are you, friend? What's going on in your world?
So I moved back to the city, y'all. So the last that we were here, I was in the mountains and I told Kalanda I had to do a whole like covert operation to get from Brown there because of the way that they're like network of drivers, and they was talking to each other about my business. And like, it was a lot. Y'all got to go watch the last episode of So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. It was a lot. Like, so I got free from there and I'm back in the city. So you want to talk about conducting business in Spanish. So I had started out looking for my place on Airbnb, and I knew that I wanted to be like in this phase of life, like city girl, she's got to have it. You know, very much like lofty city girl. I'm in the mix. I'm colorful. I'm doing the thing. Right. I'm connected. You know, that's the vibe for this season. And so I find this apartment and I reach out to the lady on Airbnb. It was listed at like, I want to say maybe $900-something. I can't remember the exact numbers right now, but let's say it was listed at $900 a month. Right. So what I know is that if it's listed as that on Airbnb, that it's probably somewhere around $700 in real life. So, and that probably is still with the gringo tax, right? So I reach out to the lady. I ask her if I could come and see the apartment, what have you. I would like to, you know, rent directly from them or whatever. So the first time that I get over here to the building, I see the building, but I don't see the apartment because they have somebody in the apartment for the Airbnb, right? So I'm like, okay, but I get an idea of the building. I'm like, I kind of like this area, like this vibe. Well, girl, working the network, I wind up connecting with this guy who connected me to an app that connected me to a realtor that has properties, that has apartments in this building, that was connected to a builder who had just finished a new place in this building, because the places that all these other people was trying to take me through, absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely not. And so then through all of those channels, I finally got to this place, and it just feels so city girl chic. Like, I just really feel like, oh my God, like this is so dope. So, I had started the year working in, it's a loft. So, the bedroom is upstairs in the loft area. So I had started like working in the loft area at first, and I finally have set up my workspace downstairs where I've always wanted to be. So this is going to be my podcasting area. This is also my art studio area. So like, this is a, what you call this? A canvas behind me that, I plan to start doing some art and painting again. And I have my plants like out on the balcony. Girl, the plants are so inexpensive here. Like this tree right here was $5, $5 US. And it's a real tree. Yes, like indeed. I'm in. Come it. On, oh, plant, my mom. God. I want to have a jungle in here. Like that would bring me so much joy to have green in my house. So that is really exciting. And I'm looking forward to decorating the way that I want, having things organized the way that I want, knowing that these are my things, like being able to control my space. I don't feel like I've had a lot of control over my spaces, especially like in that last apartment, and there was tile everywhere. I was triggered every day, the cleaning lady situation, like all of that. I can get the housekeeper back and I can actually feel like peace in my home. So after refrigerator gate ended, now, I talked about that on the Patreon, so you'll have to, because that was this morning, I told them how refrigerator gate ended, so you'll have to go back and catch up on that. But now that refrigerator gate has ended, I have the ability to really organize things and set things up the way that I want it to be so that I can honor the routines that I need to have to stabilize myself. So that's been the biggest thing for me right now, is like working on my routines and helping my brain to be able to turn on for the day So this morning I described it like if I'm tagging God in for the day. And that's really important to me because if I don't like do that with intention, then it feels my day just don't go right. I really be struggling in the day. So I've really been working hard to set up my routines in a way that allow me to naturally move from one thing to the next. So a lot of work that I've been doing has been with in regards to taking my medicine every day and taking my medicine with intention every day. And I use plant-based medicine. And again, that's something that we're going to be talking about in the archive. But I've had to like retrain my brain from thinking that if I'm taking Lexapro every day, that's okay. But then if I take plant-based medicine every day, that's not okay. When it's like, if you were taking Lexapro, you still would have had to take it every day. You need to take your medicine every day. You do. So take your medicine, right? Whether that's Lexapro prescription medicine or whether that's plant medicine. And so that looks like my medicine is a combination of things. So I have to be able to turn the switch on like, all right, God, you take over. Okay, so now I'm cleaning, I'm organizing, I'm coming downstairs, I'm going to make my tea. Like all of that is a part of the medicinal journey. So I'm really working to stabilize myself in that, so that I can consistently look forward to another day as I am also actively understanding there's an existential crisis and the world is crumbling literally in front of our fucking faces. Okay. Literally. So I feel like I'm balancing those two worlds, but I know that I cannot deal in that world unless I stabilize myself in my routines and my nervous system. I have to do that. I cannot exist in a state of survival and chaos and all of that. So with all of the things that I know I have coming up, I have to have a stable routine to help myself ground and be able to function because I have a lot of heavy thinking and living that I'm about to have to do, you know?
Woo, child. Well, I like the background that you got on camera, girl. And I could definitely see you adding more plants and you like, it's a vibe. Like I see that you're enjoying it. It seems like it's making you happy and I'm happy for that, friend. I am happy. Okay. All right. So how has the adjustment been like being out in the mountains and you had to like do special deliveries to just get food and just navigating back and forth to now being in the city? How has that adjustment been for you?
Yeah, it's actually interesting that the food is a lot less expensive here in the city. And that's even through a season when I didn't have a refrigerator and I was like cooking food every single day. It was still less expensive than what I was paying when I was in the mountains, which is so incredibly wild. There's also access to a lot more like fruits and vegetables and markets. I have not yet been to the market that I live near, but one of the things, so this is also like answering your question. So being in the mountains, it was really quiet. You know, I was on the property and that was like kind of my world and my view and like that was it. And then I would have controlled times where I would go to the mall or like do something else. But a lot of the time I was just at home. Here, I'm still at home, but I'm immersed in the middle of the city. So there was definitely an adjustment period to just kind of like wrap my mind around the steps that need to be done in order to do things. And I also became really, really hyper aware of how often I rehearse situations in my head that I really wasn't aware of before. So for example, I don't yet have a washing machine, right? But there's a laundromat that is right across the street. So I peep out the laundromat like day one, right? I'm like, oh, bet. There's a laundromat. There's a grocery store that's right here on the corner, like literally right here. I can go to the grocery store, get all the things I need and be back home in literally probably 10 minutes door to door. So then there's another grocery store that's further up that is maybe like, I don't know, a 5-minute walk, if that. So like things are right here and convenient. However, it took me a while to like pick up on how to do certain things. So I'll give you an example. So I always grew up, we did not have money, but one thing we did have was always a washing machine in the house. So I didn't grow up using laundromats. That wasn't a common practice for me, right? And I definitely didn't grow up using laundromats where you have to drop off your clothes because there is no other option. So the laundromats here are like drop-off service, and they'll do a wash load, like you pay for it separately. So wash is like $5 and then dry is like $5. So you can get both or you can get one or whatever. And so when I first got here, it took me a minute to even be like, okay, you really gonna have to go to the laundromat. Like, this is your last washcloth. Like, you've got to go to the laundromat. So I'm like, okay. So then I put all of my clothes in like an IKEA bag, right? And so then I take it over there. I drop it off. The lady was very patient and it was ready the same day. And I come back and I pick it up. It's folded and they put it inside of a trash bag. So I was like, okay. So they did that. So I did that, let's say two, maybe three times. This last time that I took my clothes, I said, I should probably put my clothes in a trash bag when I'm dropping them off so that they're able to just put the clothes in the washer as opposed to having to take the clothes out or try to work with this IKEA bag, which is not as easy as just this trash bag. And so I'm standing on the balcony because it's literally right across the street. So I'm standing on the balcony and I'm watching people drop off and pick up. And I'm noticing that the majority of people have their bag, their clothes in a trash bag. And so I'm like, so I go back over there this last time and I gave her the trash bag of clothes and I said, estoy aprendiendo. And she was like, ¿cómo? Like, what are you? I said, I'm learning. And she said, what are you learning? And I said, yo veo, yo necesito poner mi ropa en una bolsa para ti. Estoy entiendo ahora. And she was like, so I said, I need to put my clothes in a bag for you. And she was like, yeah. And I said, es más fácil, it's easier. So she was like, yeah. And I said, estoy aprendiendo, I'm learning. So it's like little things like that, that are social things. Like there's not really, I don't, how am I supposed to know? Like, I didn't know. And so then I was like, oh my God, they were probably being so kind and patient because I didn't know. And I remember one time I had picked up my clothes and some other people were there with the young lady. And she was like, hi, Kimberly. Like, and she went and did whatever needed to get done instead of them. So it just really was like a small, like, extending of kindness to an immigrant in your country that's trying to figure out how to live, you know? So I've really just been trying to figure out how to live here in the city. Like, everything has really been with that. I did go out a little bit. I had cracked the door into the world of dating. And I very quickly got up from out of there. Okay.
Oh, hell no.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. it was a lot. Like, it was like Kalanda said, when it sounds like I like opened the floodgates, that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like I opened the floodgates and then I was like, never mind.
I'm gonna tell you what, we gonna have a music selection for you, custom for this NFL draft, and we gonna go to the board, okay? And we gonna have them listed up with. We gonna have their cards, okay? We made a template for the cards now, okay? In Canva, we
got. I know you just never pictures. Used it.
Well, 2026 is a new year,
but I had closed the door too, because and I was like, never mind. See, I was like, never mind again, because it'd be a lot. Hmm.
We just go ahead and have a dating show for the love of Kimberlyn, going back to
It's so funny. Shekinah just said the other day, she said, we need to have America's Next Top Nigga or something, because this is funny.
Yes! Clock that! Yes!
So, but then this is what I told her. I said, well, yes, but also I'm international. So, what do we call it then? We can't call it America's. We have to call it like the world. And I will say, y'all, like, dating in a foreign country is literally just bullshit in a different language. Okay. It is the same stupid ass shit, just in a different language.
We're going to the board. Okay. We're going to the board.
So yeah, it's a lot that's going on in that world. And so I will say this. I will say that Chef Ratatouille is trying to move heaven and earth to regain favor and attention. And so that's been very interesting. And I will shout him out that he did take care of the whole refrigerator situation from start to finish. So
he will cross the ocean for you. He will come and bring you a fridge so that you can eat the dishes that he gives. Hey, Ratatouille! Hey, come join the show, sir. We need you for the show. You top on the list, sir. You're top on the list. Won't God do it? Okay. Hey. Hey.
You are so ridiculous. And then it's the laugh reactions that just keep popping up on the screen that are making it that much funnier. I have so many thoughts. I'm going to hold those to myself, and I'm going to go ahead on and move us along. All right. Because one of the things that we wanted to be intentional about doing this year is thinking about our word for the year. And then we also have these eight pillars of wellness that we hold at the center of a lot of the things that we do. So we wanted to elevate those eight areas and then share the ones that we are going to focus on this year. So we will also like to invite you to do the same. Not necessarily, I'm not a big New Year's resolution type of chick, and I definitely didn't have no vision board type energy this year at all. But this is a way for us to just really be intentional with the way that we are moving into this year and whatever that might look like for you. So the first thing that I want to do is list out the eight pillars of wellness that we have. And then we are going to individually share what our focus pillars are for the year and what our word is for the year. So the eight pillars of wellness are physical, psychological, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial, environmental, and professional. Okay. So those are the eight pillars of wellness. I'll say them one more time. Physical, psychological, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial, environmental, and professional. So our invitation for you again is to share which three of those eight pillars do you feel like you want to focus on with intention during this year? And then we're also going to share our words for the year. All right. And then I'm also dropping these into the chat for those of you who are here hanging out with us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Boom. Okay. So I guess it's on you. I just finished with my update. So I think it's on you. So what are your three pillars that you want to focus on? What is your word for the year?
Okay. So the three pillars I'm going to be intentional with this year is physical. I got some weight loss goals that I want to achieve and will achieve. Financial is recovering from divorce, trademark dispute, all of it, and making sure that I'm setting myself up for success in the future. And emotional, being more regulated in my emotions. And I thank God that I'm a different person than where I was back then, because I swear to you, things would be a lot different for some individuals. Anywho, with that being stated, the word of the year for me is unleashed. For me, the reason why I picked this word is because the word that I picked for 2025 was fearless, being fearless. And I had to have some really hard truths and some hard conversations as it relates to, was I truly operating with the word that I selected? And so taking that energy, holding myself accountable, at this point, I am unleashed. After being in confinement in a different country before the start of the year, definitely invokes this energy and this spirit that you are not going to hold me back. You are not going to hold me down. I am going to be fearless. I'm also going to be unleashed. I'm also going to be free from any limitations that people might say, opinions otherwise, that I am going to operate and continue to operate by these three keys. I'm going to be unapologetically me, and whoever has a problem with that, let them, because I'm going to let me do me and be operated and guided by God in everything that I do, to where at that point, it is all God. So if you got a problem with it, take it up with God, because I'm operating in the fullness of me. So it took some of the lowest moments of my life, being confined and being told that I can't do certain things, to make me realize that I don't ever want to set myself up for any of that ever again, and won't. Mm-hmm. So that's my word.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So my areas are spiritual. And literally what you were just sharing, I really want to deepen my relationship with God in a way that I'm literally tagging God in every morning. You know, it's like I know that there are certain things that are on the calendar that I need to do. And there are other things that I will be doing today. What you need me to do today, because with every day that I start, I don't know how it's going to end. And I don't know what opportunities that God has lined up for me. And a lot of times when I'm in the thick of it, it becomes so difficult to see the way out. And for me, that feels like silence and separation from God. And I cannot operate that way. So I really have to intentionally like tag God in and be like, okay, I'm what's up? We in the office. What's going on? What are we doing today? You know, so that I can really get these ideas and projects that I have out of my spirit into the world, because I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know there are people that are looking for that. And then so along with that is psychological. I really want to learn more about my brain and what my brain needs to be able to operate at its prime in honoring my brain, not in somebody else's system. So as I'm working on my routines and working on the things that will get me excited for the next day and the things that are creative outlets and like what are the things that bring me joy, like I really want to understand more about my brain and the way that my brain functions. And then the third area for me is environmental. So along with that is what are the things that I need to have in my environment that are going to bring peace to my spirit. And what I know is when I have those foundational pieces in place, the finances are going to come with that because I'm going to be so locked in and so in tune to what God wants me to do and what I need to say that the people are going to come. You know what I mean? The people that are coming for Discover Your Destiny, we're doing a couple things. I didn't mention this earlier. I guess I should take a moment to mention this now. Shekinah and I have developed a new internship program called Found Her Future for women who are 18 and up who are in a season of transition. So you are trying to figure out what your bigger purposes, you are recovering from maybe you're leaving a relationship, maybe your kids are leaving from out the house, maybe you are in a space where you're like, I'm not going down to that job no more, it's breaking my spirit, like whatever that transition might be. Found Her Future is for those women to be able to come into a collective space to learn about themselves. So Discover Your Destiny is a part of it. And it's the very first part of it. So to get that foundational understanding of who you are, how you were uniquely designed and all the things that God has placed inside of you so that they're able to then use that in birthing something into the world. So we have some creative projects that people will be working on. And then we also want to be able to help them work on their own creative projects so that we're continuing to broaden this imprint of impact that we're making across the world. Anyway, in that, I need to have myself stable so that I am able to do the visionary work that I need to do to get these things established. Because there are women who are actively looking for something and they're like, girl, it got to be more than this. So I'm really, really, really excited about that. And I want to be in the best space to be able to be the visionary that I need to be for that to happen. And my word for the year, I've said it probably 17 times already, is intentional. I don't know what my word was for 2025. I really don't know. I can't remember for the life of me. But what I do know for 2026 is that I really am moving with intention with the people, places, and things that are attached to me. I am actively closing doors and intentionally opening doors. But it really has to be the right type of energy and the right type of intentions behind it. I've become so resolute in what I will and what I will not tolerate, especially after that little girl. I had some experiences, girl, out there in them streets for them. It might have only been like 2 weeks. But I was like, Lord, let me get inside because these men folk are really, really interesting. But
are you sure? You don't want to switch teams, you know.
And so that's why I said this morning, this is how I know that sexuality is not a choice, because there is no way I would sign up for this on purpose. Like there is no way, because the level of bullshit that is present is wild. So yeah, it's a lot out here in these dating streets. But yeah, so I just know that I need to be really intentional about the type of people that are connected to me. My life is kind of high stakes. I kind of had to have that conversation with myself too. I was like, bitch, you filing for asylum, girl. You can't just have like people have to have an understanding of the world. They have to have an understanding of who I am in the world. Like it can't just be a I don't watch the news type of dude. Like that I cannot do that. You know, so yes, so that's been interesting in the opening and the shutting. I am very much embracing Jill Scott energy right now, where she said, I'm a ninja and my knife is black and it's hot and it's quick. Okay, get them out of here. Get them out of here. Okay, so I renewed a couple subscriptions, but many subscriptions got canceled. Many subscriptions got canceled, some with notice, some without. Okay. And so, you know, move accordingly and God bless you and such and so. I was going to tell you, one of your boys who subscription got canceled, the one I told you got a white girlfriend now, sitting up here messaging me talking about how you doing, because canceled. When I tell you I deleted out the phone, which means that you can't see my WhatsApp updates, none of that, right? So now you're over on Instagram trying to see what you could see. And now you're seeing something. Now you're talking about, well, how you doing? How's your projects? Fine. Thank you for asking. How are you and your girlfriend? Why are you over here? What you looking for, sir? Gone now. Gone now. Gone. So yeah, so that's what it's
for him.
Well,
child,
I try to temper your expectations often, but you be in your own world playing at weddings all the damn time.
I do,
trying to be the flower.
That's okay.
Girl.
That's we talked about it. We got a show coming soon. We got a show coming soon. Don't you worry about it, okay? Because the niggas is on the way. Okay. Hey. They on the way. Let's go.
So here in the comments, I want to acknowledge that. So in the comments, we have physical, emotional, and financial. So physical, thinking about health, making sure, feeling good naked. I love that. Oh my God, I love that so much. I think that's also one of the things for me too. That I kind of have in the background as well. Emotional, working on emotional regulation, financial, getting this money together, child, creating other streams of income, building savings for sure. We have a word of the year, maybe bold, being bold and getting out of my comfort zone more and living authentically. I love that. I literally this morning was talking about my first t-shirt line was the Be Bold, Be You movement. And I had did that when, because I did the 2016 challenge. Challenge today on my podcast. And in 2016, I was training to be an actor and a model. So I had created shirts, t-shirts to raise the money to be able to pay the tuition. And so Be Bold, Be You was that movement. So I love a boldness. I love a boldness. Yes. Yes. So yeah, anything else there?
Mm-mm, not there. We can move on to the next topic.
So let's get on into it. Tell the people what happened and what's going on, and let's paint the picture.
Okay. So for those of you that maybe are not familiar with different spaces on the internet is a wild place. And we've decided on the show to take some of the wild things that are happening on the internet and to bring it to y'all so that we could talk about it, but then also incorporate the healing aspect of it, because there's a lot of things that we have to heal from when we see things on the internet. So let me just kind of give you context and color it in what we're talking about and who we're talking about. So there's a content creator. Their name is Izzy. And they posted a skit where they wore a fat suit, they had prosthetics, they have made their face to be puffier with enhanced makeup and made this character shopping for plus size clothing. The skit included the shirt saying big girls matter, and the scenario mirrored a content creator, and her name is Samira, and that content creator makes content about living in plus size bodies. And so when Izzy did it, there was a lot of controversy about the video.
thankfully, we have the receipts. Why? Because the internet never forgets. And so it's important that...
Did she delete it?
She did. She did delete the video and she did publish an apology, which we'll get to that in a moment. But the internet never forgets, folks. So this is also important to note that when you do things on the internet, to be mindful, right? Because the internet doesn't forget. So let me go ahead and share my screen so that you could see. So this is the content.
And is it Bianca or is it Easy?
Easy.
Okay. I don't know because I don't follow her like that. So I'm just wondering if it's pronounced Izzy or Easy. Easy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me hit the button and then let's showtime.
Excuse me, where's her plus sizes? Yeah, plus sizes. Oh, you don't know.
We only have them right here, but
I'll go to her.
I asked them where the plus sizes are, and she brought me this, and she has the biggest size they have. Can you believe that this is a 4X? Like, this is not plus size. My little sister can fit in this. It's 2026. Like, you companies need to do better. Like, this is discrimination. I'm just tired of it.
Hell no, this didn't fit. What? No, and I also measured the doors, and I just want to say that they're absolutely way too small.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't meet the regulations of actual plus size women. So if you guys could talk to the manager about that, I'd be happy.
You can talk to the manager in the front.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, they didn't gave me a ticket out in LA. Look at this mirror. Look what it says. Sometimes I diet. Oh, okay. Y'all fat phobic, huh? They are fat phobic out here, just so y'all know. Fat phobic might as well just be homophobic, bitch.
Wow. I had not seen the full thing and how clearly she was targeting Samira.
So I wasn't aware of Samira. Like, I had no idea the type of content Samira produced or anything until I went down the rabbit hole in the comments where other people were like, where are you trying to go with this? Because just even the hair and some of the language.
So do you
want
to show them Samira?
I do. So here we go. So let's go to the next slide. And the next slide, I have their content and how you could follow them. But I also have a video of her playing some of the things that Izzy was saying. Because Izzy was saying things on TikTok Live and Instagram Live before she issued an apology. So since we're here, let's go ahead and play that clip.
The big girl's gonna be mad tomorrow. Watch. That's what I've been doing all day, child. I need y'all to go crazy.
Black women are so sensitive, especially big Black women in this day and age.
Like, whenever you make a joke, that joke is at the expense of somebody. You just gotta have a sense of humor to take it or not.
My point was, like, it's a character. I played a character in my last video. It was one action. But the big girls, because of the insecurity of a lot of big women being big, that's what they was like, well, shit. Because you made fun of big jokes, even though a lot of us don't even like the girl that you're coming for, because a lot of people said that, too. It was like, oh, but we don't rock with her. But the fact that you made fun of big girls, I'm like, what? That's how you know, like. We as Black women don't always have to be, like, not all of us, but it's just like, y'all be ready to rally up about the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. So I follow Samira. I followed her for a while. She is actually from New Orleans. And I found her because she has a saying where she goes, ba-bop. She be like, ba-bop, ba-bop, ba-bop. And she's put out a couple songs. She sings. She played football when she was in middle and high school for a school named Lusher. She went to Harvard. She's very intelligent. Like, she's done a lot. And she is a plus size advocate, and I would dare to say activist, because she holds brands accountable for saying that they have inclusive sizing while sizing out a significant population of people. And she exposes how fat phobic a lot of people are, and how fat phobic society is, and how people who live in larger bodies are like, if you think about the types of styles that they have for plus size clothing, is ugly. It's like not fashionable at all. It'd be a lot of things looking like tablecloths and curtains and all of that. And then these brands will use people like Samira or someone who is plus size to say, oh, look, we care about plus size people. And then they don't carry those sizes in the store. So now that plus size person still has to go online. They don't have the opportunity to go into a store to be able to try on clothes to see if the clothes fit. They can't even return the clothes if they don't fit, or like, it's like a lot. So I follow Samira. I've been following her for a while.
Yeah, I just started to follow them and their journey and the whole controversy about when we are using social media to make jokes at the expense of others, and where do we draw the line when it goes to, oh, this is just comedy, this is just jokes, to, ouch, this actually really hurts and probably shouldn't happen. And it's a conversation for sure that I was like, I think this would be a great platform to talk about, because being transparent and being vulnerable, where I would call people out, and while what I'm saying might have truth to it, usually has truth to it, but there's underlining tones and ways that I went about it that can be seen and perceived to be hurtful. And so experiencing my karma in the way that I've interacted on the internet, and then when my life shifted and changed, and then realized that I've been talking about people, and now look at people posting about the stuff I got going on the internet, and then having to sit with that, because you got to be able to take what you dish out. It's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. So I thought that this would be a great topic for us to unpack, because now Izzy has gone on this thing to say, oh, I apologize, and has mentioned that, you know, they are inspired by Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor, and it's just comedy, while there are people that are hurt, and while there are other videos out
here. And she
here
did it
that,
to hurt it. She did it to target Samira. Like, there is no, that's what you did. You did it to make fun of a particular person, and then the internet didn't take it well. So now you regret that you did that, and now you're trying to clean it up.
So I did pull the People magazine, and we'll put it in the comments, because it did go into full depth about this particular situation. And they even asked for Izzy to provide a response to all of this, and they declined to speak to People magazine about it, which, again, speaks volumes to not wanting to take an opportunity to just be accountable on a larger platform, like healing all the way around. Like, what is comedy? What is not? And how do we show up and exist in these spaces where we're also going to hold people accountable to the things that they do and say on the internet, but also meanwhile protecting our peace?
Yeah. So taking it in chunks, and starting with us as the adults and people who have fully developed frontal lobes, I think it's important to always be aware. So this is where I go to my word being intention, right? And this is why I only deal with people that use words intentionally and do actions intentionally, because intentional people have at least taken a moment to think about the impact that this can have. Now, some people still do that and still do it, right? But the intentionality, I think, in a lot of the ways that many folks move, especially in social media, is not there. And so I would definitely call us to being intentional with how we are using words and spaces and platforms, and being aware that even with the best intentions, that I can still have a negative impact. So then being accepting of the fact that I may have a negative impact with the things that I'm saying. Now, again, there may come a time where, and there are certain things that I'll give you a classic example. Anybody that has to do with MAGA, anything ICE, my giving a damn about the impact is very, very low, because I think that you are a horrible human being and that you are coming from a place of evil and hatred. And I mean that. And I also understand that that might be world shattering and that might make you feel like you want to cry. And also, I don't care, because I very much mean that. Because if you're somebody who can support that type of movement, you are an unsafe person. You are sick in your head and you don't care about people. So that's an example of me saying something that may have a negative impact. And I don't care. I still chose to say it anyway. Right. But I also intentionally chose the example that I chose to use, the words that I chose to communicate, and what that looks like and sounds like. So I said all that to say, I think we as the adults in situations really have to be more intentional with how we use our words, how we use our spaces, how we use our influence, understanding that there are children who are watching and they are patterning the way that we handle conflict, the way that we show up in spaces. They're looking to us to be the ones to figure out how to do that. So it is our responsibility to show up in ways that honor humanity in all ways, and to be committed to unlearning harmful and toxic behaviors and characteristics that we might hold that are making a negative impact in the world. So I feel like that's kind of where it starts. It starts with us. And then after that, how are we then breaking that cycle for the children? And what type of intentional conversations are we having with children about these things? Because this type of behavior that however you say this creator's name, these types of things don't exist in a vacuum. Like there are many people who do this kind of stuff. The issue with Easy is that she didn't think that the internet wasn't going to receive it. She misread the room. You thought you was talking to a whole bunch of people that was going to align themselves with you, and then they did not. So now because you're feeling that now, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. You know, all the things after you doubled and tripled and quadrupled down, you know, so. That's kind of that. The other thing I was going to say is in regards to the plus size conversation, and as someone who was once considered plus size and now I'm more straight size, I guess, it is really, really interesting how much people hate people who live in larger bodies. Like, the level of hate is so normalized and it's so pervasive in every little thing, and the way that so many people feel like the automatic assigning that this is a person, like I was talking earlier with immigrants who can't speak English, with people who live in larger bodies, is like, you lazy, you're sick, you know, don't have any value, you just taking up a whole bunch of space, like you worthless. Like, there's so much messaging that comes along with someone who lives in a larger body, and because people don't know the root cause of it, nor do they even care. So, like, I remember being in the States. My issue was never that I ate too much. My issue was that I didn't eat enough. My issue was that I was stressed the hell out. My issue was that I didn't really have access to fruits and vegetables. My issue was I was holding so much cortisol within my body that, no, the weight isn't going anywhere because I was stressed the hell out. Like, that was my issue. It wasn't that I was lazy. It wasn't that I was eating bad. It was that my environment was keeping me sick. you know, but like society is not concerned about those things. It's like we're so conditioned to just prejudge and then throw people away and devalue them. And it really is something that needs to be dealt with. And it's why I follow Samira and why I really appreciate her advocacy and her activism, even though I'm no longer in plus sizes. I get it. Like, I get it. And so I think they're important conversations to have about the perceptions that we have about plus size bodies and how plus size people get to be able to experience life and experience experiences like shopping. It's like, you should be able to go to the store and buy your clothes just like everybody else. You know, like, if there are people that exist, there are people that need to buy clothes. You know? So, yeah. So that's it. I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, it's very intriguing to me. Just with the complexities of the internet and what feeds the algorithm, the way that the algorithm is set up, and to Samira's point, is that there are so many brands and so many, you know, organizations that have an ecosystem of making fun of people that are quote unquote different.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it comes at an expense where it harms folks in the process. And so how do we, as humans that are seeing this type of content online, how do we protect our peace in seeing harm that's being created, but then also holding folks accountable to the things that are being said and done, because it's not okay and it needs to be dealt with and addressed.
Mm. Yeah, that's the American way, you know, is to other somebody. Somebody's got to be othered. And I'll say one of the things that I wish that we would do is just divest from the whole system altogether. I wish that we would, you know, and my gift is not sewing. Okay, that's not my gift. That was my mother's gift, though, interestingly enough, or is my mother's gift. But I would really like for us to be able to choose not to engage with those types of brands. And that's why Samira is doing what she's doing. So you know who the brands are so that you don't engage with those types of brands. Capitalism is capitalism and gonna be capitalism no matter what we do. And it is absolutely about to run over all of us like a freight train. So knowing that we have to make decisions that say, I'm not participating in this, and whether that be in the gossip and the making fun, or whether that be in actually spending your dollars with companies that are showing you they don't give a damn about you, like, it's like we have to be making those decisions about how we're going to interact with the system, because the system is larger than any individual. But as individuals, we have the ability to be able to tap into other networks that don't subject us to that type of abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I think. What other thoughts you have over there?
The other thought that I have is, at some point, these systems are going to break. And I'm just wondering, the same tools that are being used to other folks and to make comedy, how will it be used to amplify the different things that are happening? Because I just got a report sent in my email that there are social justice movements that are intentionally being silenced by certain platforms, that the algorithm is not allowing certain social justice issues to be amplified in order to help liberate our people. I just wonder, where's the line going to be, and when does the line I want to say stop? Like you said, capitalism is capitalism, and that train is rolling as we go
when
along.
Does the system eat itself?
Yeah, like at what point does it just all gets dismantled because it's not sustainable, and the very platforms that folks have generated money from and then they won't be generating the same type of money because of what's happening, what will be the creator economy? It's just a lot. And then I just, again, think about our children.
Wait. Because it's a lot. It's a lot. You went through like seven different things. And I think that, so to the systems are already eating themselves, right? So the systems are already eating themselves. But what I believe is that we're in about a 10-year period, and we're just at the beginning of the system eating itself. So that's going to happen in different phases. So when you ask, like, where is the line, it's maybe 10 years from now where we finally start to see light shifting or, like, things actually making a difference. I'm going to keep it 100. The place that we are in the world right now is, like, we really need to stop trying to think that there's justice. Like, I get very confused when people still talking about accountability in a matter of, I'm trying to make this company be accountable. I'm trying to make this government be accountable. I'm trying to even hold my elected officials accountable. I don't feel like any of that makes a damn bit of difference right about now. For me, accountability looks like right now, how am I building the communities and we are holding each other accountable? Because that shit is done. Done. There are no more free and fair elections. There is no more. Y'all may or may not know this. I don't know what your level of being tapped into the world is, but Greenland already told their people that they need to prepare for U.S. invasion. Europe is trying to decide who's going to actually defend Greenland or if they're just going to allow the U.S. to colonize this nation. Like, that's globally, right? They stole the president, kidnapped the president of Venezuela. He's threatening to kidnap or to do something to the people in Colombia and Cuba every other day. Shit's wild in Panama, down by the Panama Canal. Israel is bombing Lebanon. Iran, the U.S. is bombing Iran. It's a lot that's going on globally. That's not to even mention what's happening in the United States, right? So radical acceptance is necessary in all ways and spaces right now, that this is not business as usual. Things are not about to get better for at least 10 years. And that is even if we had an election that was free and fair to come up for a new midterm or a new presidential election. The amount of damage that has been done over the last year is enough to take at least 10 years to undo. When you think about Supreme Court justices and everything else, right? So I want to, like, kind of level set that, because I still be hearing people saying stuff like, well, in the next election, and like, oh, well, you should go vote. And sure, vote to put your name on record that you went to go vote. But also, please understand that ICE is going to be at them polling places, and they're rounding up U.S. citizens every day. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot that's happening. So in that, radical acceptance is necessary for all of us to figure out how we're going to exist in this new world. So what I would encourage us to do is come up out of these stupid ass skits and all that kind of stuff and get connected to how the hell we finna be able to make it through these next 10 years. Where's your community? Do you know how to grow food? Do you have somebody who knows how to buy clothes? Like, where are those movements is more so when I'm on, because all this other stuff is really to just keep us busy while billionaires are the ones who have bought all of the social media platforms. So of course it's not a safe place, because they don't want us to be able to disseminate this information so that the uprising is able to happen. If they keep you busy with stuff like skits and like all of this, that's going to help you to not be paying attention to anything else. Now, granted, yes, we need time to be able to connect and to ground and to stabilize our nervous system. But I also need you to know what the hell is going on. Because it's moving very quickly and it's not a game. This is not a drill. This is not some fun. I'm not saying this just to be saying this. This is very much happening in real life, real time. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Facts. Ain't nothing else need to be said after that other than prepare and get ready. Because it's wild out here.
That's it. It is very much so. So yeah, we are actively, you know, building community and building spaces, and we really want you all to get connected and remain connected to us. So if you go to WeHealThatShit.com, you're able to get connected to our ecosystem here. Make sure that you are connected to us on YouTube, that you are liking the video, commenting, sharing, subscribing. All of that helps push it out to the algorithm. We're going to use the algorithm as long as it's going to be able to be used to get the information out, because it is important to us that we are doing this healing work and that we are giving ourselves a fair shot at being able to exist in this new world that we're all launching into for the very first time. Please connect with us. Also, make sure that you connect with us on our playlist. If you go to WeHealThatShit.com/playlist, you'll be able to listen to the different songs that we have curated. And it's a growing, moving document as we think about different songs, we add them. So, feel free to contribute to that as well.
Yes, indeed. And we got an album that's going to be added to this playlist coming soon on Kimberlyn's birthday. Okay. February the 13th. We have Jill Scott.
That's not my birthday. Why are you saying it like that? That ain't going to think my birthday on February 13th. My birthday is on February 14th, y'all. But the day before, Jill Scott is releasing her new album.
It's everyone's birthday, okay? And I'm saying it that way because that is the gift that she is giving us, and because you are a gift. We are celebrating your birthday all month long, okay? So February 1st, start your birthday, okay? Oh. All right? And this month, January, we are celebrating the Capricorn. That is me, okay? Because, baby, let me tell you something about my birthday. I feel so good. It's so loved. It's so special, honey. I tell you, yeah.
I'm ready to be petty today.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory. It's a good time this month.
So Bianca's birthday was January 8th, you all. So happy belated birthday to Bianca. It sounds like you had a very good time.
I sure did, even though I was in the States and I was supposed to be in Peru and all that. But hey, everything worked out. Had a little SpongeBob cookie cake and stuff. Ooh, nice. Girl. Ooh, girl. So we celebrating all month long, okay?
I love it.
All month long. So February, we shifted to Kim's month, okay? We just give God the glory and the honor and the praise for what he's about to do and the folks that's coming down the pipeline. God. Glory! Okay. Hey. Hey.
Just incredibly unhinged, and I just don't even know what this is going to turn into, but here we are.
We season 3, baby. Let's get it. We have some real serious conversations, but then also we got to have some joy, man. Because life is already hard enough. It's wild outside. So we're going to have joy. We're going to have our freedom. We're going to have our fulfillment. And we are challenging you to think about your word of the year. Okay. We appreciate those that were here as we recorded this live in two parts, mind you. So just thank you for being here. And we want to know what your word is, okay? How are you going to show up in 2026 while life is life and people are peopling, okay?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
What's your close and remarks to get us out of here?
I'm ready to tell the people where they can find us so that we can go ahead and roll out. So I'll kick it off since I'm here. Y'all can connect with me at KimberlynJackson.com. You can also go to DYD25.com to get information about Discover Your Destiny. If you are looking to get information about Found Her Future, you can go to tinyurl.com/FoundHerFuture. Found Her Future. You can get information about the internship program there. Also, connect with me on Instagram at Kimberlyn J and at Minding My Black Ass Business over on YouTube. Come and hang out in our universe. We have a new podcast that'll be premiering soon called From Auntie With Love. And apparently we have a new podcast as well that's coming out called Those Niggas Love Kimberlyn. So, yes. You know, just stay tuned. Just stay tuned for all of the things as the things are happening. Where can they find you, girl?
Come on! Well, y'all, it's been great. Y'all can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsby.com. Okay? On my website, you can see the different ventures I got going on, and you can subscribe to my mailing list. You could be a member of my Patreon and join the Equalizers and the Digital Guardians. It's a lot that I got going on, a lot that I've been producing, and I'm really excited for more of the things that I've been creating to be posted on the internet because, yeah, here we are. So that's where you could find me. Also, go to WeHealThatShit.com. There's a lot of things that are changing with this website, and subscribe to our mailing list so that you can stay connected with us because the algorithm is going algorithm. But if you staying connected in our mailing list means that, hey, not only will you may or may not see us on the algorithm, but there's an email that's delivered right to your inbox, okay? Right at your front digital door. That you can enter and be a part of the things that we're doing and stay connected with us because together we are committed to doing the work to heal and we gonna do that shit. This year's our year, folks. Okay? It's Amen. Your year too. So make this year the most amazing year ever. We're going to be rooting for you and cheering for you along the way because life is going to continue to life. But we're going to be here being unapologetic, speaking truth, talking about the things that maybe make people uncomfortable, okay? But here we are, speaking truth to power and doing the things that God has called us to do because we're committed to doing the work to heal.
Amen. So we'll be back with our next episode on Saturday, February 7th, and that is 1 week before my birthday. So we'll have a chance to talk about what that looks like and what things are looking like coming up to my birthday. So We appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all soon.
Bye.
Bye.